truth. Seeing reality. The definition of God on page 587 states that God is the great I am, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. The very first term is knowing. Truth represents consciousness. In order for anything to be in consciousness, if we are following, if we are looking through the spiritual lens, then we are looking at everything from a spiritual knowing. And therefore, we are looking at consciousness as being the consciousness of God. If we're doing those two things, then our seeing has to be seeing the truth. We cannot be seeing anything that is unlike truth. God is spirit, and spirit is flawless. Spirit is the only substance. And because it is flawless, that means it is transparent. Truth is transparent. So this again reflects between spirit as substance, which is flawless, and truth, which is consciousness, which is seeing truth. We cannot see truth if we're looking at something opaque. We can only see truth if we're looking at a flawless, transparent view of truth. The vision of God is perfect. Genesis, being the first book in the Bible, that really gives us the beginning of the spiritual development of consciousness. And if we look to, starting with verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Take a serious look at the sequence here. Number one, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and so forth. Who do you think the us is? It looks to me like we have to open our consciousness, and then we become part of the us with God. We cannot benefit from our spiritual development that is inherent within consciousness unless we open it up to accept what God has already created. Mary Baker Eddy explains that the first three words, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created, and so forth. Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean in the only the only creation there is, which really means everything was done at the same time, simultaneously. So there was no beginning, there is no end to the creation by God. God is infinite. So there cannot be a beginning and there cannot be an end to infinity. There cannot be any beginning or end to man being made in God's image and likeness. The only thing that can put a problem in the way, an atom or a blockage, like a dam, to keep the water from flowing, is for us not to open our consciousness to the truth. It later says that God gave man dominion over everything. We cannot realize we have dominion unless we're seeing with God's eyes. We can only see with God's eyes if we opened up our consciousness to let ourselves be made in the image and likeness of God. In other words, we need to recognize it, accept it, affirm it, and live it. If we don't live it, then we are not being God's image and likeness. It's already there, given to us on a silver platter. But are we going to pick up the silver platter with all the feast that is on there, which means all of the qualities of God, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, all of which are incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, which includes all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving, and eternal, all substance, and intelligence. Our seeing individually is not dependent upon God. It is inherent within everyone that follows the dictates of God. Mary Baker Eddy does such a beautiful thing when she gave us such a concise definition of God. We don't have to worry about personality like most people do. They think Jesus is God. Mary Baker Eddy explains that God is incorporeal, bodiless. Jesus can't be bodiless. Jesus came to us in the flesh. We have to jump over the bridge from a false material sense of man to the real spiritual reality of man. On page 591, she defines man as follows. the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Remember the definition of mind includes everything. Look at the definition of good. Good is defined as God. Spirit. Omnipotence. Omniscience, which includes omni-intelligence, omni-knowing, and omni-wisdom. Omnipresence and omni-action. So if it wasn't covered in the prior definition under God, then it is covered under the definition of good, which is defined as God. All of those action words just recited. Frederick L. Rawson indicates that one of the main things we want to cover in any treatment is matter and mortal mind. Here's the definition of matter from page 591 of the glossary. Mythology. Mortality, another name for mortal mind. Illusion, intelligence, substance, and life in non-intelligence and mortality. Life resulting in death, and death in life. Sensation, in the sensationless, mind originating in matter, the opposite of truth, the opposite of spirit, the opposite of God, that of which immortal mind takes no cognizance. That which mortal mind sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. Her definition of matter includes mortal mind. Matter is basically an object of mortal mind. It is a projection of mortal mind thought. The second introductory quote at the beginning of the textbook is by Shakespeare, and it states, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." All we have to do is to direct our thinking through the lens of spirit along the path of truth. Then we will be on infinite progression, working toward concrete being. We will not be on the path of matter or mortal mind or illusion or any of these things that were just mentioned in this definition of matter. On that same page, this is how Mary Baker Eddy defines in the glossary. Now remember, the glossary is only like short synopsis of the topic. Mind, the only I, or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. Not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. Well, there she repeats what she said under the definition of man that was read a few minutes ago. She says, man is the full expression of mind. And under the definition of mind, she says, man is the full expression. In fact, she says, God, of whom man is the full expression. But it's not just the full expression of mind, it's the full expression of all of God. We are the highest level of manifestation of God. Now, this is generic man. This isn't you and me as a personality. Personalities are based on matter and mortal mind, on the belief of a human birth, the belief that there was a beginning to creation, and that creation was material. That does not begin in the Bible until Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 4. And that's when the word derivation for God changes from Elohim, which is the real God, the God of spirit, to Jehovah, which is the God of matter and mortal mind, based on Adam. Based on Adam being the father and mother of man. That is a false picture of man. That is not the man made in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Under the definition of devil, on page 584, Mary Beckreddy defines it as evil, a lie, error, neither corporeality nor mind. The opposite of truth, a belief in sin, sickness, and death, animal magnetism or hypnotism, the lust of the flesh, which saith, I am life and intelligence in matter. There is more than one mind. For I am mind, a wicked mind, self-made or created by a tribal god, and put into the opposite of mind, termed matter, thence to reproduce a mortal universe, including man. Not after the image and likeness of spirit, but after its own image. Even the devil is not corporeal. There's no body to evil. We cannot attach evil to a person if we want to see the truth about the evil. Because evil has no body. Personality. I don't care what their name is. I don't care how many evil acts that we judge them to have performed. We can never clear our consciousness about the problem if we attach or keep attached to any personality a single attribute of evil. Not one. We are wasting our time. We are deceiving ourselves. We are criticizing. And what does Dr. Fluno say about criticism? It is the worst evil that there is. Criticism leads to all evil. This was so important for Christian Scientists to understand that Mary Baker Eddy hired Dr. Fluno to tour the United States as a lecturer and to talk about this one subject. Now, he talked about other subjects, but this was the leading topic that he was to cover with his audience. Mary Baker Eddy stopped a dozen times a day. In fact, she said hourly. And she was probably working more than 12 hours a day. All of her waking hours, basically, except the one ride that she took throughout the area where she lived. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to take to heart something that Mary Baker Eddy thought was so important that she sent a man touring around the U.S. giving a talk primarily on that one topic? And she stopped every hour herself to self-examine, to make sure that she was not thinking evil. She was not criticizing anyone about anything or any event. She had everyone in the church attacking her, basically. She was like Jesus. When she passed on, who came to defend her works? No one. No one. They took her picture out of the textbook. The very next day that she passed on and republished the book. The very next day. With all these millions of people out there that were attending Christian Science churches throughout the whole world, and they could not convince the board of directors to shape up or ship out. They were so subordinate. They were enslaved to the board of directors instead of to truth. They forgot all about the manual. It's totally against the manual. They did everything possible since the day she passed on to separate her from her discovery. Is it any wonder why we went from having 40 or 50 churches in all the major cities around the world to now, we've got probably one or two. You know, what, 5%? We've shrunk 95%. Why? Number one, they did everything possible to separate Mary Baker Eddy from Christian Science. They blew up all the statues that were throughout New England, which is where they were installed, because that's where she was living and that's where she was primarily doing her work. Statues all over the place in honor of her. They blew them up. Her house, beautiful house, they sold it immediately. And for a while, they had an insane asylum there. I mean, that's got to be the biggest insult you can think of. I don't think it even exists today. Probably the most beautiful home in the whole area. They don't want any memory of anyone to have of Mary Baker Eddy. It used to be all of the testimonies would give tremendous gratitude to Mary Baker Eddy. Now read them. If they even mention her, it'll be a rare testimony. In fact, probably wouldn't be accepted to be printed. The manual that she wrote for them to follow, them being the board of directors, because the manual is really intended for the church in Boston. It's not intended for any of the thousands of churches around the world. Everyone is supposed to have their own manual. Every church is supposed to have their own bylaws. She makes that very clear. Originally, she had all of the branches connected by the symbol on the front of the sentinel. And then she detached them. Alice Orgain wrote a book, The Detached Branch. It flew right over the top of everybody's head. They wondered, what is this all about? Because the board of directors was sending out edicts that they're in charge. Totally against the manual. They violated every provision of the manual. She was supposed to individually sign and approve every single replacement and renewal of any primary function of the church. That included appointing teachers, appointing lecturers, everything of importance. They had to get her personal signature before it could be done. They just totally ignored it. And everybody just followed like sheep. Sad. Because what that did is it started the peak of Christian Science and the greatest, most vibrant movement in religion and science to come to an end. And what happened in 1913? She passed on in 1910. 3 years later, they established the illegal Federal Reserve to control the money of the U.S. government. If you control the money, you control the people. She would have never let that happen. It would have never happened if she was alive. Soon as she passed on, it was planned. 1913, the nail was in the coffin. That's one of the things that President Trump is working to get rid of right now, because it's illegal. They started income tax. Illegal. It's not in the Constitution. They do whatever they want to. They've had the taxes up to 92%. 92% tax at one time. Even right now, in most states, you're probably going to pay 50 to 60% tax, including your state taxes. In fact, it's probably much more than that because they've got taxes on everything. Sales taxes, property taxes, fuel taxes, you name it. They've got taxes on everything. Permits, get a permit to start a business, everything. Are we going to open our eyes to the truth? Are we going to follow the seven synonymous terms for God and what they represent? And are we going to be looking? Are we going to be cultivating our vision based on the seven synonymous terms? That's what we should be doing. That's how we should be seeing like God sees. That's how we should be reflecting the seeing of God. It's not based on anything that is visible. Anything that is visible is only a symbol. It's either a symbol of good or it's a symbol of evil. If it's a symbol of evil, we flip it. And we separate the evil from the person. It's the only way we can get rid of the evil. We cannot get rid of evil as long as it's attached to a person. Because another person can come along and have the same evil qualities. We can't get rid of evil unless we separate the evil from the person and attack the evil and forget the person. The person has to work out their own salvation. If we separate the evil from the person, we can get rid of the evil. And then the person has nothing to attach itself to. We have to expose the evil. But we need to do our best to be separating it from an individual. In fact, I shouldn't say an individual. Individual really refers to generic man that is expressed individually. We have all of the tools. We've been given the definition of God, the definition of good, the definition of man, definition of matter, definition of evil. All we have to do is stick to the basics. We have to declare the truth about ourselves as God's image and likeness. And we have to practice it. We should be doing what Mary Baker Eddy did. Stop every hour, whatever we're doing, and do a short little prayer treatment. Can't do a long one, or it'd be time to do the next one. If we devoted 5 minutes every hour to self-examine, to make sure that we were not thinking evil about any single person or any single event. It's very easy to do. The formula is very simple. We could have the most rotten, corrupt government in the world. And what do? We think about the true government of God as defined by Mary Baker Eddy. She has every important word in the entire dictionary defined. Principle includes government. That's government as a noun. Government as a verb is mind. Because mind is the only controller. Mind is the only thinker. Mind is the only director. So if we want our thought to be directed, we go to mind and we recognize that mind is the only thinker, the only controller, the only director. And mind is good because mind is the substance of spirit. You see, all these seven terms work together. We have to use substance, which is spirit, to be the substance of everything. That's the substance of our intelligence. That's the substance of our knowing, the substance of our wisdom, the substance of our creative ability, our capacity, capability, functionality. Do we want to love in an ignorant way or in an intelligent way? See, intelligence comes from mind. And do we want to have an atmosphere of hate in our intelligence or an atmosphere of love? See, that is love being a part of mind. And mind being a part of love is utilizing the intelligence of mind in the action of loving. Soul is identity. Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Do we want to identify things with an atmosphere of love or an atmosphere of hate? Ignorantly or intelligently? Everything works together. It is one grand network. There's no limit. It's like the trees in the northwest area of California called the redwood sequoia trees. Their roots are shallow, very close to the surface. What makes them so strong is that they bond together in one unified network of roots. They don't crowd each other out. They bond together. No one should ever cut down a redwood tree. Unfortunately, they do it. If somebody wants to have redwood lumber, they should generate a forest, plant the seeds, cultivate it just for that purpose. But to cut down a 2,000-year-old tree is criminal. Criminal. Mary Baker Eddy also prayed 3 times a day for all humanity. Are we doing that? We should. Mary Baker Eddy is our model. There's not enough written about Christ Jesus. He gave us one prayer, the Lord's Prayer. In fact, that is such a valuable prayer that Mary Baker Eddy says that if we understood the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, that one prayer would enable us to heal anything instantaneously. Very powerful statement. She proved it to be true. Spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. She gives that to us on page 16 and 17 in the chapter of prayer, the beginning of the textbook. We should review that prayer at least once a day. We could use that prayer as one of our prayers. If we pray for all humanity three times a day, we should use that one as one of the prayers. You could use it all three times. That's a beautiful prayer. Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Very, very valuable. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy defines a very important feature of Christian Science or divine metaphysics. Two words for the same thing. She states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she says, when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And the next 11 pages, from page 330 to page 340, are provided the 32 planks, the complete text. She gives us all the tools. Here's something else that will amaze you about how everything fits together. Genesis chapter 1, as stated, is the spiritual development of thought. That's Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2. The Ten Commandments tie in exactly with Genesis chapter 1. The Lord's Prayer ties in exactly the Beatitudes. And they all tie in exactly to the seven synonymous terms for God. All in exactly the same order. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And we have that all laid out on our website with the complete text, verse for verse, and topic to topic, from mind to love, all seven of the terms for God. Do you think God did not have his hand in guiding Mary Baker Eddy? And also, Christ Jesus' hand, and Moses, and the writer of Genesis chapter 1. Everything links together perfectly in exactly the same order as the terms for God. We are so fortunate to have these tools . Mary Baker Eddy tied it all together. She provided science and health, which gives us those definitions which are so valuable to understand and utilize for interested in improving our vision. Even if we have 20/20 vision right now, from a so-called material eyes standpoint, how about improving our spiritual vision so we understand more of what God is and what man is and the relationship between God and man? I am so grateful for everyone that contributed to my understanding, as I've studied the Bible over the years, science and health, the system of divine metaphysics, as has been developed further by various authors. The most advanced and final one so far has been Rolf Witzke. He has taken it to the most advanced level. I'm grateful for every bit of understanding that I've received. I've never relied on anything but Christian Science. Totally independent of any outside source. We all need to be independent. Well, let's put it this way. It's an individual salvation. When each one is ready to accept the fact they would like to be free more completely, then they will recognize that that's part of their freedom and independence. Since our true vision is a result of seeing the nothingness of matter and the onus of spirit and truth and utilizing the power of mind for the seeing function. I shall close with two quotations. First is the scientific statement of being, and the second is where we are as man, as quoted in John. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. And the closing verses will be from 1 John, verse 3, 1 to 6. And this is from the J.B. Phillips Bible translation. Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called children of God. And that is not just what we are called, but what we are. Our heredity on the Godward side is no mere figure of speech, which explains why the world will no more recognize us than it recognized Christ. Oh, dear children of mine, have you realized it? Here and now, we are God's children. We don't know what we shall become in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect His likeness, for we should see Him as He really is. Everyone who has at heart a hope like that keeps himself pure, for he knows how pure Christ is. Conduct will show who is a man's spiritual father. Amen.